About Cambodia, it's in Southeast Asia. It is a very, very poor country. In fact, for the last 40 or 50 years, it's consistently been on the very bottom of most lists as far as things like orphans, things like poverty, things like, back up to that picture there just a second, and orphans, poverty, because of the civil war they went through, the Khmer Rouge and so on, landmine victims per capita, just always at the top of all those bad lists. And then poverty is one of the big things. So you'll see on the next picture there, I don't know how well you can make that out, but a lot of, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of just little tiny shacks. You could probably fit, oh, probably 50 to 80 of those shacks in this auditorium. And there's hundreds of them in that area. That's right down the street from our church. And that area there is just right there on the river. And that's where a lot of the people live in that type of situation. It's a very, very poor country. But you'll note, oh, one more picture about the poverty. You see the shack in the back, and then you see all the trash in the front. That's where people just throw out their garbage. It's not a sanitary place. It's not clean. It doesn't smell good. But there are 15 million people there who need the Lord, and that's why God has sent us there. Then in the front there, you see that beautiful rushing river. That's actually an open sewer, and there's a lot of those all throughout the city. So it's a really, really smelly and unsanitary place to live in many respects. But I show that just so that people know that just because a place is poor and things like that of that nature, that doesn't mean that God doesn't love them. God loves them just as much as he loves any of the rest of us. Now, the next couple of pictures, you'll see a big change happening in Cambodia. You see there the skyscraper. We're starting to have skyscrapers. We're starting to have American fast food franchises, which is not good for the American missionaries' figures, amen? But we're having those things come in. Everybody's on a smartphone, and we're starting to have things like skyscrapers and big condos being built and things of that nature. When I got to Cambodia 16 years ago, there was only, there was no freeway overpasses anywhere in the whole country. Now there's several, and there's several more being built in the coming years that are on for plans. And then the bridge that's right next to our house, they've built another bridge right next to it, brand new, so traffic going both ways. Cars, fancy cars, rich cars are increasing many-fold, and so it's changing a lot in Cambodia. Really, the rich are getting richer. They're starting to be a middle class, which there was not before. But sadly, the majority of the people are still very, very, very poor. The biggest and most important thing about that, though, is not that we all get all excited that they're getting more economic opportunity. I'm glad for that. I really am in many ways. But the sad thing is that it's still a country that by and large does not know the Lord. It's a Buddhist country, about 95% Buddhist. And it seems like in the last, say, 10 years or so, as the economy has begun to build up a little bit, it seems like what's happening is they're not turning away from their religion. They're just adding some extra idols. And I would actually call them American idols, things like standard of living and luxuries and things like that, that they never knew. And I hate to begrudge them many of the things that they consider great luxuries. Most of us have considered just normal ever since we were young and children. And yet they're learning some really bad habits, kind of like Americans, about just where everything is about possessions and things like that. You see here in this picture, angels. They worship angels. You see in this picture, a representation of demons. There's Buddha statues everywhere. There's demons, there's angels, there's a number, tons and tons of different things that people worship. Here I have a picture of the Buddhist temple. There's one of those literally on almost every street corner. Every little small neighborhood has a Buddhist temple. That one I put the picture in here because we actually get a little bit of use out of that one in this way, in the neighborhood that we pick up people. I tell our people that want to come to church, meet me in front of the Buddhist temple and I'll pick you up in our van and take you to church to hear about the true God. And so that that place right there has been a pickup point for our church. We pick people up Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, children, Sunday night, adults again, Sunday morning as adults. And we've been doing it for years and picking people up right there. So I'm really thankful. It feels kind of like a poke in the eye at the devil to pick people up right there. Let me show you a little bit about our church. This is Good News Baptist Church in Phnom Penh. It's the inside of our church building there. And God's doing a great work. You know, I wish all the time, I know your pastor probably does too, I'm always wishing God was moving a little faster. I'm always wishing God was making things happen a little faster and bringing more people to the Lord and seeing the ministry grow quicker and faster. But God is still, and God is always constantly reminding me, just because I'm impatient, that doesn't mean that God's not doing things. God is doing some things. That's the church in Phnom Penh. This is the church out in the village, largely children and teenagers there that come from about three different villages. Between the two churches, we see probably about 120 or so every week that come in. We have mostly, like I said, children and teens in the village, although we have seen a number of adults saved. But there in the city, we have predominantly adults. The adult crowd is much larger than the kids crowd there in the city. But as we look through some of these pictures, I just wanted to mention that God has been good. And in 16 years, we've seen about 800 professions of faith. To some mission fields, that may not sound like a lot, but I'm going to say that I'm thankful for every last one of them, because every last one of those people represents hours and hours and hours of teaching them the gospel. We never sit down with someone in 15 minutes and lead them to Christ. It just doesn't happen. But what does happen is we get to know people and sit down with them for an hour, and then the next week another hour, and the next week another hour, and oftentimes 4 or 5 hours goes into one person getting saved, and sometimes more than that. In addition to the 800 salvations that we've seen, we've also seen about 200 baptisms. And so I'm thankful for that. And God is doing a great work there in Cambodia. Now, in addition to our church planting ministry, we also have our literature ministry. I've mentioned it in the past, but in case some of you are new, God's given me a desire to write and to use the talent that God's given me to try to produce literature, because there's nothing there. You think about all the things. I noticed a little rack from Striving Together, I think, out in your little foyer, your foyer there. And all the things, whether it's online or at conferences we go to, you know, you can get so much for discipleship and every little area of life. There's a pamphlet, there's a book, there's something that your pastor can put in your hands. Imagine if there was none of that, and there really isn't. Now, I'm very grateful that in the 1920s, there was Christian Missionary and Alliance missionaries that went over there and spent several decades. They did not have a lot of people saved, but they did translate the Bible and the hymn book. And if you'd like to look at those, both of those, the purple hymn book and I have just a New Testament with me, they're both out on our display table. I'm super glad that people put that time in, because when we got there, just 6 years after the country opened back up, after being closed for several decades because of civil war, when we got there, there was a Bible we could use and a hymn book. I'm thankful for that, but there was nothing else really to speak of. So God's led me to use some of these things, devotional type things, discipleship type materials and things like that. And I tell you this because you guys, as you support us, it's not just our church, our two ministries there that are using it, but it's literally ministries all over. And I'll talk about this in a minute before I finish. But as your church a couple of years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, took an offer, well, sold your land and sent that over to Cambodia, your pastor contacted me and said, I need to know some needs, some missionaries. And I wrote him back with a whole bunch of people on a list. Well, all of those missionaries, they use our material. Now, I'm not saying they use exclusively ours. They use their own things too. But I'm telling you, because as you support us, it's not just being used in one place, but it's literally being used all over the country in national pastors' ministries as well as missionaries' ministries. And so I want to give you real quick 10 things I'm thankful for from our last term. When I started getting ready, I was kind of discouraged when I was getting ready for furlough. Had a couple of tough things happen in the final couple of years before this furlough. And I was just like, man, what do I really focus on? And God began to bring things to my mind. Well, you could be thankful for this, and you could thank me for this. And so real quick, 10 things. I'm thankful that God let us partner with Medical Missions Outreach, Brother Brad Edmondson on the left. And he brought a group of medical professionals from the U.S. Another group came over from Singapore as well. And we got to put together a medical clinic right there on our church property. And we got to treat, I don't know how we did this, but on our little property there, we got to treat 817 people of their medical issues, all for free medicine, free treatment, and so forth. But the best thing that they got was the opportunity in the next picture there to hear the gospel. That's a fellow missionary there. In the next picture, you'll see one of our good, solid soul winners in our church leading people to Christ and witnessing to them. We didn't see tons saved at the clinic. We saw several saved during that week. We also saw several saved in the ensuing weeks as we followed up on people like this family right here. And we're thankful that we got to do that. Second thing I'm thankful for in this last term, and you'll be surprised to hear me say thankful because of this headline, Hundreds Die After Bridge Stampede, but about 5 years ago at the Water Festival, which they have every year in November, they just had it a couple weeks ago, they had about 5 years ago a stampede, and about 468 people were trampled to death. It was a horrible, huge national tragedy. And so they canceled the boat races and the water festival for the coming years following that. Well, why I'm thankful is because in this term, they've started the boat races back up. And the reason I'm thankful for that is because that's a great opportunity for us, as we always go out with tons and tons, thousands of gospel tracts. You'll see a couple pictures here of some of my kids out passing out tracts. And there's literally hundreds of thousands of new people from the provinces that come into town, and we're able to just pass out gobs and gobs of gospel tracts. So I'm thankful they restarted it. They just had it again a couple weeks ago. I think it's going to become a part of the national calendar there in the capital city each and every year, and I'm thankful for that. The next thing that I'm thankful for in this past term is that maybe you might know Pastor Mike Ray up in Napa. He got to come over and see us. I'm super grateful for that because that's my wife's home pastor. She got saved as a teenager under his ministry, and he got to come do some preaching. Here's a lady in his church that got to come with a group of about 10 people from their church, a longtime bus captain. She got to teach some of our young people, and here's another special meeting we had with Pastor Ray, and just to have them there was a tremendous encouragement to us, so I'm thankful for that. I'm also thankful for another thing having to do with this van. Now, this van, we've been using it for about 10 or 11 years. I mean, we brought thousands of men, women, boys, and girls to church. Every single week we use it in multiple runs in the village, in the city. And it was just, I mean, it had one foot in the grave, one foot on a banana peel, if that's the way the saying goes. It was in really, really bad shape. And we just really, really were needing something else. And Pastor Ray came over for a visit. Now, we love our van. I still love our van. Even though it's gone on to the happy hunting grounds, I still love it. Pastor Ray came and rode around in it for a week. He didn't like our van, and he's not the most tactful person in the world. He didn't like it at all. It kept breaking down, and you hit a certain pothole, the door falls off, so forth, things like that. And he's like, we got to do something. So next slide there, they got back. Well, no, that's actually one of the days we got stuck in the mud. I forgot to show that one. But this is what they went home. They took a love offering, and they said, buy a van. And they sent that money, and within a week or maybe about a month after we found the van, we had that van. And that's just a huge thing. It's been a couple years now, and now we've had that van in operation, just using it again for the glory of God, bringing tons and tons, thousands of men, women, boys, and girls. I couldn't resist taking a picture of the old and the new together, and so I could share with you the life verse that I had selected for our van. By the time I retired it, I selected a life verse. It's in Revelations, and it says, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. All right, so the next thing that I'm thankful for is that my mom and dad also got to come and visit. That's them there in the middle, on the left and in the middle. My nephew and niece on the right, and they got to help with some singing, some music and things around Christmas time last year. There they are here. But the thing that really encouraged me, you'll see me here in the next picture translating for my dad. Now, that's a huge blessing, and I'll tell you why. My dad and mom taught me to know the Lord, love the Lord, and serve the Lord. And now I've been spending 16 years of my life over there trying to teach others to know the Lord, love the Lord, and serve the Lord. And for them to get to come and meet the people that I'm investing in after all they've invested in me, it was just priceless. This picture here of my mom and the lady that I told you a minute ago is a great soul winner in our church. Thankful for that. Next thing I'm thankful for in our church is that my daughter on the right, my daughter on the left, that's not these two, well, this one in the green, Deborah, and then my other next daughter, Emma, and myself took a sign language class and started learning Cambodian sign language. And we were really excited about that. The young lady in the middle is our teacher. She's deaf. She's one of about 50,000 deaf in Cambodia. And Cambodia has not had a sign language. They don't use ASL. They have not had a sign language. But in recent years, they've started working on one. And so this lady is one of the teachers. She's a real sharp young lady. She doesn't know the Lord. But there's 50,000 people plus that are deaf in Cambodia. And most people in Cambodia don't even know how to deal with a deaf person in any way, shape, or form. In fact, they consider them, if they happen to be one of the unlucky ones that got a deaf kid and they start figuring it out, they never really do figure out what's wrong with them. They just consider them to be slow, kind of dumb, and kind of a throwaway. And so they just kind of neglect them and ignore them for their whole life. And these people grow up never having anyone love them. And so we're thankful for the opportunity. The next slide shows, again, in the class there, and the final slide shows us getting our diplomas. And I'm thankful that as we got that diploma, that out of the seven class members listed there on the picture there, six of them were from three different independent Baptist churches that were taking sign language. Now, most of Cambodia's deaf don't know sign language yet. This isn't going to start turning around fruit tomorrow. But it's in the future, as we see them learn sign language, we want to try to go along a simultaneous track so that when we're able and have an open door, we're able to do that. The next thing I'm thankful for is that our church got to go take a group and go and be a part of an ordination of a national pastor. And that you'll see in the next picture. Now, the young man on the second to the left, the taller Cambodian man with a tie on standing, his name is Pro. And in the first 3 months of me being in Cambodia, I didn't know the language, but I knew how to invite people to church. I invited him to church. He came and ended up getting saved. He's in the ministry now. the man that's kneeling there getting ordained into the ministry, I was able to lead him to the Lord. Now, these are not men, neither one of them are men that I personally trained, but both of them I had a part in getting them into church and getting them to know the Lord. And then other men that are up there, other good missionaries and national pastors, that they were a part of their churches and trained them for the ministry. But for our church to get to go and watch that, witness that, get the vision for what God wants to do with our church as well, and then also our church is helping to support monthly both of those two national pastors, I thank God for that. Next thing I'm thankful for in this last term, you'll see a picture of a funeral going on here. And you might think, like with the stampede, how are you thankful for a funeral? Well, I'm thankful for this. In a Southeast Asian country, maybe all third world countries, definitely a pagan type culture, sometimes the last bastion of culture that falls to the Christian worldview will be funerals and weddings. Funerals and weddings. And you lead people to Christ and you're thinking, wow, they're doing great. They've been saved 5 years, whatever. Then all of a sudden there's a funeral or a wedding in the family and you're like, whoa, what happened? I thought they trusted Christ as Savior. And they'll take major steps backwards at funerals and weddings. And so I'm thankful. Now, I don't have the pictures of the weddings, but we married a young couple that were both saved in our church 9 and 8 years ago, respectively, 3 days before furlough started. I'm thankful for that one big time. But then these two funerals that took place. I'm just thankful for, there was more funerals than that, but these two particularly, just people are learning how to trust Christ, honor Christ, and follow His word in all parts of their life, even in death when their loved ones pass away. And I'm thankful for that, just in being a testimony for the Lord. Burial is not simple over there. There's not really hardly any cemeteries. But the Christian testimony of the hope of the resurrection and burial of the dead and so forth. And then to see our people, these two ladies here in the next picture, singing a song, comforting their sisters and brothers in the Lord as one of the men in the church has passed away. Just a huge blessing to me as a pastor. I'm thankful for that. Last two things. I'm thankful for our people are learning how to win others to Christ. Now, they've been doing that for years, but in a much more effective way, if I can say it that way. In the early years of our church, basically, I led everyone to Christ. In the next couple of years after that, people would bring their friends to church for me to lead to Christ. And then in the next couple of years after that, what began to happen was people would bring their friends to church, and I would matchmake this person with one of the people I was training and set them down, and they would lead them to Christ. In recent years, what's happening is we're having people, a good number of them now, that are leading people to Christ that I've never met. And they're leading people to Christ, co-workers, neighbors, family, friends. And then they're bringing them to church and saying, Pastor, I led this man or this woman to the Lord. And that's really what it's all about. I'm super, oh, you know what? Back up. I got to tell you one quick story. Back up one more picture. The lady in the red right here, she has been working for 7 years in a home that deals with trafficked young ladies. There's a huge problem with abuse and trafficking in Cambodia. It's one of the worst places in the world for that particular atrocity. And so there's this home that it's not a Christian thing that we run, but she got a job there working in this home. And she worked there for 7 years. Now, they just closed down the home a couple of years ago. She lost that job. The contract ran out and it closed down. But while she was there, she was able to lead 70 young ladies to the Lord. 70 young ladies. In the next picture, three of the girls at this church potluck, three of the girls in that picture were saved there in that home and are now out of the home and are serving faithfully in the church. I'm so thankful for that. And one of the other young ladies, by the way, in that picture is a deaf girl. Anyway, let's keep on going. And the final thing I'll mention to you, just go and flip those about every 1 second. It's almost done till you get to the last one. The last thing I want to thank God for is that our people are learning financially how to give. And our people are giving more. They're taking more responsibility for their own bills. They're actually right now bringing in monthly about a little over half of what the church needs for their budget. And that's a huge step because in such a poor country, so many of the churches that I've been associated with over there, sometimes we look at each other and we go, we will never, ever have a self-supporting church over here. People are so poor. But God has given some of our people good jobs, and they've in turn blessed God with their giving. And it's just the way it's supposed to work, and it's been a huge blessing. They're saving money for land. I'm hoping in the next few years maybe to be able to buy land for the church. They're helping to support some national pastors. Whenever there's national tragedies or international tragedies, like in Nepal, there was that earthquake a couple years ago, typhoon in the Philippines, so forth, they'll take a big love offering in the church and send that off to try to be a help. huge, huge blessing to see the way that the people are giving. As you look at these last couple of pictures and faces, I just want to thank your church for all that you've invested in our ministry, all the years, many, many years that your church has been supporting us. Every one of these boys and girls are in our ministry there. Many of them have gotten saved, but many of the little ones especially, they're not saved yet. But I believe that they will be by the grace of God as we return next summer, continue the ministry. Of course, the ministry is going on while we're away, but we're so thankful for what God is doing, and we desire to get back over there and continue and trust that we'll have many more years of partnering together for the sake of the lost souls of Cambodia. All right, so that's our report. Now, we got just a couple of minutes, so I want you to turn real quick. I want to share just a brief thought with you. Turn to Romans 10 and 2 Corinthians 10. Just remember two 10s there, Romans and 2 Corinthians. While you're turning to Romans, I want to thank you. I sent a letter, of course, way back, or an email to your pastor a couple of years ago after the offering that you sent. But I want to thank you, the congregation, in a personal way. I have not forgotten what you all did. And I want to thank you not just for me and our ministry, but on behalf of all the missionaries, because we really do consider ourselves on the same team over there. And there's not competition among the other churches and missionaries. I mean, we have a great camaraderie, and I was thrilled to get the opportunity to be the liaison or the conduit between your pastor and finding these needs. I loved it. It was a great role to get to fill, to call these guys and say, man, somebody wants to meet a need. What are your needs? Write them down, compile them, send to your pastor, get that letter back. One of the funnest things I've ever done in my life was writing and calling those guys after he sent me, here's the final offering, here's what we're sending to everybody. And to be able to call those guys and say, man, that van you needed, someone's sending it. This church is sending you the money for that. That building or that land you're raising money for, that building you needed to set money aside for, someone's sending money for that. And it was just a huge blessing. And for us, we had a particular need at that time, several actually, but one of the big ones was our visas. Visas have gotten unbelievably expensive, and they've even gotten more expensive in the last 3 months since I got back here. And it's just a major item that you got to budget in every year. And sometimes if they tweak something without any warning, it's not in your budget, and it just totally blows you out of the water. And your church came in with that offering at a perfect time and also did some printing of tracts and some other things. I just want to say a heartfelt thank you on behalf of the other ministries, myself, our ministry, and the people of Cambodia. Let me give you a quick thought. Romans 10, 14 and 15, you know the verses. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? We'll stop right there. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 10, and I'll comment on what we just read. Normally, we read Romans 10, what I just read, and we apply that to missions, and that is certainly not a misapplication. That certainly has everything to do with missions, because churches send out representatives, ambassadors, to be their representative, and yes, there needs to be a preacher in order for people to believe. They got to hear. In order to hear, there's got to be a preacher. In order to be a preacher, there's got to be a sender, and that is what the role of the church is to send the gospel out by way of preachers and ambassadors for Christ. So yes, it is a missions passage. But I have to tell you, I think sometimes we just put all our eggs in one basket and we say, this is a missions passage. But it's not just a missions passage. Because the truth of the matter is, every single one of us, number one, lives around people all the time that don't know the Lord. You don't have to go to the mission field to live around people who don't know the Lord. They're everywhere. You read statistics. I just read some a couple of days ago or a week ago or so about the percentages of people in America that consider themselves evangelical Christian, and then to realize that many of those who consider themselves that probably are not saved. America is a pretty wide open mission field at this point. And frankly, I get a little frustrated when I hear sometimes preachers, even missionaries, and sometimes so-called missionary experts say, well, you know, we need to send everybody to that one field or these three fields, and that field doesn't need any more mission. There's not a place on God's planet that has people in it that doesn't need more of the gospel, including Morgan Hill. There's a lot of people. So we're around people that need to hear the Lord. Well, how are they going to hear unless, how are they going to believe unless they hear? How are they going to hear unless there's a preacher? Well, in the Bible, the word preacher is not always about that man that's called pastor that stands behind the pulpit and preaches. The word preach often in the Bible is simply means to proclaim or to tell something. And so the truth of the matter is, every one of you, men and women included, we are to be proclaimers of the gospel. You say, well, wait a second, I got you on the final phrase, how shall they preach except they be sent? And the church never sent me out. Well, it's not always just about the church sending you out. Do you remember how Jesus said, as the Father hath sent me, so send I you? And so I believe that in many churches we miss the boat when we think that missionaries are a separate thing and they're like their own little subgroup or whatever, and we're not missionaries, they are missionaries, they tell the gospel, that's why they're out there, and we've got our own lives to live. The truth of the matter is that we're missing the boat on that, because Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And as long as there's people within our reach that need to hear the gospel, every one of us is to be a missionary. Now, 2 Corinthians 10, and I want to just, if you like to mark your Bible, I want to let you highlight or underline three prepositional phrases that will show you your place in God's plan. You see, your place in God's plan is not just to come to a church that supports missions. That's a good start. That's a good thing to do. I'm not putting that down. But that's not the extent of what God has for you to be doing in regards to His plan of reaching the world for Christ. If we leave it all to just a few, it will never happen. But if every person says, God, what is your plan for me? What is your place in my plan? Now, prepositions, I don't know how many of you loved English, or maybe more than half of you maybe hated English when you were students. Amen. I want to ask you to raise your hand. But if anybody hated English, maybe you're in for a little lesson here for a second. What is a preposition? Well, a preposition shows how two objects relate to each other or fit together. Like I can say, my Bible is on the pulpit. All right. Now, you don't have to have a lot of prepositional phrases to speak. You can speak as long as you've got your noun, your verb, and it expresses a complete thought. That's a complete sentence. But prepositional phrases, they really begin to fill it out and give you more detail and show you, oh, that's what you're talking about. Now, in this passage in 2 Corinthians 10, there are three prepositional phrases, and you can underline, highlight it, or just jot them down or remember them in your head. I think you'll be able to remember them. That's fine. And it'll show you what God's place is, what your place is in God's plan. All right, the first one is found, I don't have the time to give the background here on this, but in 15, I want you to notice the Apostle Paul speaking here to believers. He says, verse 14, for we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you. For we are come as far as to you, also in preaching the gospel of Christ. Now, the first prepositional phrase is the little phrase, to you. To you. You say, well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, the gospel has come to you. How many of you are saved tonight? Just raise up your hand. You're saved and you know it. All right. Amen. Good. And if you're not, guess what? The gospel has still come to you, because you're sitting in a church right now that will tell you how to get saved. The gospel has come to you, and for the great majority of you and myself that are in this room, we already know the Lord as our Savior. And by the way, I'm glad that the gospel has come to me. I'm glad that somebody cared enough to tell me about how I could have my sins forgiven. I'm glad that someone cared enough, by the way, to tell my mom and my dad how they could know the Lord as Savior, because they're the ones that told me. And you'll see in just a second, there's this progression that goes along as people tell people, tell people, and tell people. That's how the gospel moves along. So the first way that we've got to understand, where does God see me in His plan? Well, first of all, the gospel has come to you. It has come to you. I'm so thankful that Jesus loved me enough to come to this earth and die on the cross, that He loved me enough that my mom and dad would get saved and then would teach me how to know the Lord and how to be saved at a young age. I'm so thankful for that. And every one of you, if you would think back to your salvation testimony and the way that God dealt with you mercifully and graciously and gently and brought you to a place of understanding where you would know the Lord as your Savior, boy, how we ought to be thankful and grateful for that and never get over the joy of our salvation. You know, I think of Jonah. You know, when Jonah went over there to Nineveh and he preached, and I mean, he knocked it out of the park. He didn't like the fact that he had results, though. He's the weirdest missionary ever. Most missionaries that I know, including pastors that I know, I mean, imagine if Pastor Haynes took the church here, and 6 months later, the mayor of Morgan Hill is like on public television. We're declaring a public fasting, a day of fasting and prayer. We're closing down all the bars, and we're closing down all the places that would teach people to do wrong, and all the public schools will now have Bible class. All the people are encouraged to close all their places of business, get to the house of God on Sunday, because I heard a message from Pastor Kyle Haynes, and he told me that we need to repent of our sins and get right with the Lord. What do you think Pastor would think about that? Be all right with him, right? He'd be like, yeah, yeah. Jonah went to Nineveh and the whole city got saved, repented of their sins at the behest and leadership of the king. It started at the top. I'm telling you, it was unbelievable. Jonah, in chapter 3 and verse 1, it said, but Jonah was exceeding angry. Why? Well, he hated the Ninevites. That's why he didn't want to go in the first place. But he starts telling God in verse 3, I think, of chapter 3. He starts going, see, God, this is why I didn't want to go. I knew you were going to do that, God. I knew you were a God of grace. I knew you were a God of mercy. And I knew you were slow to anger. And I knew all these things. That's why I didn't want to come. I knew if I came here and told them how to get saved, they'd get saved and you'd save them. Now, if you don't believe me, go home and read Jonah 3. That's exactly what happened. Now listen, if we understand what our place is in God's plan, we're going to have to understand, hey, the gospel came to me. That's something. But secondly, look at 15. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased that we shall be enlarged. Here's the next prepositional phrase. By you. By you. When he says we shall be enlarged by you, that doesn't mean they're going to have a potluck. Amen. Feed the missionary. Lots of fattening food. No. What it's talking about there is that they were hoping that the scope and reach of their ministry would be exceedingly multiplied, manyfold over, as he said in 2 Thessalonians, pray for us that the word of God would go forth with power and with free course. And he wanted and he desired for the ministry to expand, not for his own pride, not for his own glory, but for the glory of God and for the salvation of sinners. That's what he desired. And now he says here that when your faith is increased, we shall be enlarged. But he said, here's a little, two little prepositional phrase here, by you. Ah, now that connects perfectly with to you. Because people who are not grateful for the to you never get involved with the by you. By you. You see, he said that the ministry is going to expand. More people are going to get saved by the men and women that the gospel has come to. If we could take the time tonight and tell you, how does the gospel go forth by you? Well, it goes forth through witnessing. That one's not hard to figure out, amen? Every time you tell someone the gospel, you know what you're doing? You're passing it on. Somebody told you, amen? Now you're telling somebody else. It's going out by you. But there's other ways. You give money to missions. The gospel goes out by you. You pray for your missionaries that God's word would go out and have free course, that they'd be delivered from wicked and unprofitable men. As in Matthew chapter 9, pray the Lord of the harvest that he'd send forth laborers into his field. When you pray for missionaries, the gospel is going forth by you. And by the way, one more thing about by you. When you give your life and say, God, whatever, blank check, Lord, whatever you want, that's what I'll do. You see, I believe God's still calling men and women into the ministry. I believe God's still calling men and women to go to the mission field. Listen, the mission field is wide open all around the world. Yeah, I know there's some closed countries and things, but you don't have to look hard or long to find a place around the world that God could put you to work in a big time way, winning people to Christ. So by you and to you. And the last one, thirdly, in 16, to preach the gospel, watch it, in the regions, here it is, beyond you. And that two little word phrase is what it's all about. Pastor opened the service tonight by saying, I think it was when you opened the service tonight, or I heard somebody else say it tonight, that God has to remind us that it's not all about us. And that's true. And that's what this is about. You see, I'm afraid as Americans, and I can say that, I'm not being overly critical of you. I'm an American too. All right? So I'm just a little tough love here. Americans are spoiled. were very self-centered. I mean, you never seen self-centered until you drive around. Maybe some of you did this on Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, watching all the people come out of Best Buy, Walmart, Kmart, Kohl's, Sears, JCPenney with the most ginormous TVs ever known to man. You could like watch the Super Bowl from outer space on some of these things. And people are coming out, sometimes two, three in there. You say, well, maybe they're giving them as gifts. Maybe, but I bet you a lot of people are putting it in their own living room. Why? Is there sin to have a big TV? No, of course not. But there's a world beyond us. There's a world out there that doesn't know the Lord. And they're not going to know the Lord by some stroke. Calvinism, by the way, is not true. They're not going to know the Lord by some stroke of luck or genius or some pixie dust or some silver bullet that somebody finds. They're going to know the Lord when we wake up and say, wait, there's more out there than just me. It's beyond us. It's not your house only on your street that God loves. It's every other family on your street that God loves. It's not just the people in this room and in this church, but it's every person in the apostate churches in town that God also loves. It's every bum on the street that isn't in church that God loves. It's not just those in the confines of America. Oh, and I know there's all this talk, build a wall, and I'm all for national security. I believe in that, but there is a world out there beyond us that God has called us to reach. And we've got to find what our place is in God's plan. To you, has it come to you? By you, and beyond you. You can close your Bibles. There was a very bad accident in Cambodia just a couple of years ago, not far from our house. SUV and a little moped. There's lots of SUVs in Cambodia from the rich and way more motorcycles from the poor, little mopeds. And they collided head on. And that happens all the time. And there's very, very little that anyone can do about it. Impunity, people drink and drive all the time there. And they ran into them, didn't stop, just left the scene. That's what happens all the time. I know a missionary wife who lost her life over there by a hit-and-run driver. Very dangerous roads. But when he hit that motorcycle, they called the rescue crew and so forth, which is a whole nother story. That's not like it is in America. But they came, and the young man who had been driving the motorcycle, dead. Died on impact, died at the scene. But what they didn't know until an aunt of a young man started asking around at his job, where's so-and-so? What they didn't know until later was that there was another young man on the motorcycle with them. But no one knew that, and when the rescue crew came and the crowd gathered, as they invariably do, nobody knew that there was another person on that motorcycle, and nobody found him. He was gone. He disappeared. Until the next morning, right in front of the wreck is a big, huge walled compound where a rich family lives. They've got a guardhouse out front, and the guard went into the guardhouse and noticed a big red stain in the ceiling. And so they called the authorities. They came down. They climbed up on the roof, and the poor fella, he was 20, 21 years old. Impact of that wreck had thrown him up on the roof of that guard shack where no one could see him. He had landed up there and bled and died on the guard shack, and no one knew until the blood dripped through the ceiling and they called someone. When they came down to look at him, they said, there's no rigor mortis set in. He has not been long dead. And the realization began to set into people that he had laid up there all afternoon, all evening, all through the night, all morning, living. They went to the house and they asked the people that lived there, whose bedroom windows were maybe 30 feet from the guard shack, did you hear anything? I mean, they said, you know, during the night we heard some moans. Well, did you investigate it? Well, no, we just, you know, we thought it was an animal or a ghost. Real big on ghosts in Cambodia. We thought it was an animal or a ghost or something like that, and we just put it out of our minds. And so this poor boy takes his final hours of life and breath lying totally forgotten and lost on the roof of this guard shack. And you know, when I read that story, I thought to myself, that is where much of the world, particularly the 1040 window, if you've heard of that, is like lying on the top of this hidden little roof. While America, maybe we occasionally hear their moans. Yeah, we see the stories on the news and we say, well, you know, That's over there. We don't rouse ourselves. Maybe we don't think we can do anything. But I'm here to tell you tonight that God has a place for every one of us in His plan. The gospel is to come to you and go forth by you to the regions beyond you. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be in church tonight. Stir our hearts, Lord. It's just so sad to think of how many people around the world don't know the Lord. And it's our job to tell them. It's not anybody else's job. It's ours. It's the job of those who are in Christ, the Bible says, have been made ambassadors of Christ. We are in Christ's stead. And so, Lord, we ask that you would use us to do what only those of us that you've called to do this and through your power can do, and that is to reach more people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand to our feet for prayer, if you will, and we'll have the pianist play as soon as...